Aloha.
Hello and welcome. We're back from the ballerlifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. Thank you very much for joining the show. Episode number 437. I just looked down. I don't know what I said last week. I think I said the right show number, but I've written in my notes, you know, I have my little moleskin notebook in front of me as I record. And I wrote down last week, episode 355. What the fuck is wrong with me? Lots of things. Thank you very much for listening. We appreciate your patronage. As always, I give you the email address. Mailbag, all one word. The Baller Lifestyle, all one word. .com, a dot, and then three letters. Mailbag at theballerlifestyle.com. You can call us. Somebody told me he was having an issue with the voicemail last week. I'm like the customer service over here, and I don't mind. I appreciate you guys reaching out. Somebody reached out last week and said, hey, your voicemail's not working. So I immediately attempted to call the voicemail. It worked fine. It was me. I heard my voice there say, leave a message, keep it short or something. So it works. 949-464-8257. As always, if you would like to get everything that we record every week, please consider paying me $5 a month or 50 bucks a year for our Red Circle bonus content. Click the link in the show notes and you can subscribe there, or go to theballerlifestyle.com and click the link at the top of the page, or go to my Twitter at Brian Beckner and click the pinned tweet there. There's a lot of ways you can do it. We appreciate that. We appreciate you looking out. And if you're too much of a miser like Darby in the OC to contribute the $5 a month, or maybe you're just not like super fan, which is cool. A really super cool thing you can do is go to Apple Podcasts and give us a review. Click 5 stars and just write a quick review, much like Zach in La Jolla did. 5 stars, headline, 5-star podcast. Thank God for Brian, and he spells it B-R, quote, Y, end quote, A-N, and Ed, and Travis Rogers for Friday Facts that brought me to this show. Best podcast on the internet, bar none. Really the only podcast I listen to. I'm pro Manuel. There's one. And respect the show for avoiding scat talk, even though Brian always talks about it. I do not. Get Red Circle and hook these dudes up. Appreciate that, Zach and La Jolla. Appreciate everybody that contributes in any way, whether it's a review, whether it's contributing financially, whether it's emailing the show to your friends or sharing it in a text. We love you guys and thank you so much. I am joined now by somebody just back from summer vacation. Of course, it's easy Eduardo Diario. Ed, what's up?
Hey, first of all, I apologize for not having the proper microphone equipment. Yeah. It was kind of chaos when we got back from our trip, and
I still sound better than Jay Stu. But although Jay Stu's employed a mic recently, so he's slightly above you.
One thing that just jumped into my mind when you said that you take notes, yeah. You take notes on a notebook. I don't
moleskin.
Know why.
I use a moleskin notebook. It's which classy. Is
pretty, very classy. Yep. But one thing that was kind of, it just flashed into my mind. You know how on Real Sports, Brian Gumbel's taking notes at the end of the episode?
Yeah.
What is he writing down? This show is being produced.
He's got a very fine
NFL concussions. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What are you doing, buddy?
He's got a Mont Blanc pen,
and he's pondering. he puts the pen up to his mouth and then he writes stuff down. It's like the segment's over. There's no more notes.
Yeah, no, he's he's writing on a yellow notepad. And I think I heard one time, it might've been Rick Reilly saying that he had a conversation with maybe David Letterman.
Okay.
And David Letterman asked Bryant Gumbel, what are you writing all the time when you're writing? And Bryant Gumbel goes, I'm making a list of my pallbearers.
Okay. That's like very unsettling. Well,
that's narcissism. You know, it's like, that's the kind of thing you think about when you only think about yourself. That said, I've really come around. I haven't watched real sports in a while. I've really come around on Bryant Gumbel because he's such a fucking asshole. And I love it when he's an asshole, like to the NFL, like the things I care about. And he just goes all in on shit like that on his little rant.
I can appreciate aspects. I haven't watched the show in about a year, but like it's definitely been good. In spots. That one guy, Bernie, was the worst though.
Is he not there anymore? Bernie Goldberg.
Bernie Goldberg. His move, where he would just be like, they'd be like, and you know, I waited for the call and they never called me back. And he go, they never called you back.
Yeah, I know.
Never called you back. Never. What are we doing? What are we doing? He just kept doing that.
He's great because he loves himself. He was the one that foisted, much like Jim Cramer, maybe not as much as Jim Cramer. He's the one that foisted
Lenny
Dykstra, stock picker, savant. Honest.
It was like that Russell Crowe movie where he was a genius in his own mind, but beautiful, it was really mind. He was just crazy with Post-it notes. Yeah, because they showed him with the three monitors, and he's like picking stocks, and he realized it was just nonsense.
And he's living in Wayne Gretzky's. Look, I'm full disclosure here. I fell for it.
I believed it. I was like, holy shit, this guy is doing it.
He's living in Wayne Gretzky's mansion, and he has no furniture other than the desk that he's got the three monitors on. He's like, I look and I watch the line go up and down, and then I go, oh, I think I'll pick that one. And I'm like, fuck, this guy is good. Like, I ate it up.
So I kind of get why Jay Leno was so insecure that he never had guest hosts. Like, Johnny was the most secure because he was the guy of late night for decades. Yeah. So he used to just take like half the year off towards the end.
Oh yeah.
But I'm off for a few episodes and you just get a murderous row of co-hosts. And I was thinking, geez, they're all better than me. This is weird. Well, this is odd.
It's one thing to be a fresh voice that comes in once and just bust their nuts all over the show. And I appreciate all the guest hosts that came on. Travis, of course, Dolomite D, my longtime friend. And Caleb Holtzclaw at Bird Respector. They all did a great job. But it's one thing to do it one time. It's a whole other ball game to do it week in and week out.
Yeah, but it's funny. I'm energized to be back. I won't bore too many details of my trip, but there is a funny story that I think people would appreciate.
Throw the rubber in the boot.
So we did a week in Scotland and then 3 weeks in London. So the week in Scotland, we did a few days in Edinburgh, yep. And we stayed. I saw this like Brewdog brewery. You see them a little bit here, like. Yeah. Punk IPA. You may have seen Brewdog.
I haven't seen it. I'm not familiar, but I'm interested.
But a Scottish brewery. They opened a boutique hotel in Edinburgh, and I looked at it, and it was like well reviewed, and only opened a few months ago. And I was like, well, let's give it a shot. And it was an amazing place, and it had a keg, it had a tap in the room,
and
in the bathroom. There was another fridge and it said shower beers and it was just free beer. Like it was like Homer Simpson's wet dream. It was this amazing hotel. It was a beer hotel.
Now it wasn't like, you ever been to those bars where they have the taps at the tables and you just fill your own beer at the table and they just like count the liters?
Right. No. This was okay. They said it was free and they just said, you know, like, you tell us, we have five different beers or four different beers. You tell us which tap you want.
You want in the room.
And I did. Oh, and God. I mean, it was amazing. And I really have been, I've been going light all 2022.
You've lost 35.
45. But But I went deep,
of course,
in Edinburgh. But then we.
That's why you go hard on yourself the rest of the time, so you don't feel like shit when you have as many ales or what's the black beer that I like that Guinness makes,
and
porter, stout.
Stout. Oh,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah. While you're in Scotland, so I appreciate that.
So then we went like out to the Highlands, like we did like Loch Ness, you know, drove by there. There's not like anywhere to stay there, but we went out and it's beautiful. But the issue is driving on the other side of the road, which, okay. So like, all right, I figured I could do that.
Yeah. Ask Ferris Bueller about that.
Driving on the road.
Not easy.
Was that with Jeannie Bueller? No, was that with Sarah Jessica Parker?
You keep telling your story and I'll look it up.
So rent the car, and at the rental place, it's like, well, we have these super expensive SUVs. There was like a change in plans at the last minute.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, okay, but we can give you this BMW at the price you had.
So they always give you the small engine though, because gas is so expensive. They don't have the 6-cylinder, 8-cylinder cars over there, which is kind of a bummer. You're right. Jennifer Grey was in the car with them.
So I should have, no matter what the price was, should have gotten the truck, because outside of the city, it's not the right side of the road bullshit. Left side of the road.
Yep.
It is the potholes. It's like a fucking, I mean, they're feral outside the city in Scotland. Like this is the beginning of American Werewolf in London, right? Like they just like get a flat and they get stuck somewhere and he gets attacked by a werewolf.
Yeah. Just leave it. So, just leave the car. Get a different one.
We are 3 hours outside of Edinburgh, hit a pothole, flat tire, these thin BMW tires.
Yes, AAA. You called AAA, right? They came right out with the tow truck.
So luckily we had a cell phone plan that was pretty good. Like, you know, I have AT&T and there was an international plan. It was essentially like, well, since you're already paying for yours for business, the kids, you know, the additional lines are free. So our kids just sat in the back seat on their phones, like TikTok and all that bullshit.
Yeah.
We were there for 5 hours.
No.
Yeah.
Five.
No. Yeah. And so our night, we were driving to wherever, some place that I don't think we had huge plans, but it became a situation where it was so late that we were all just hungry.
Yeah.
And by the time we pulled into town, it was like 5 minutes to midnight. And as we're getting to town, we're calling and nothing's open. we ate Domino's because that was the only place that was, and it was closing at midnight. And it was a victory to go to Domino's
in
Scotland. Yeah. And it was bad, but it's like, it was good because at least we had something to eat for the first time in, you know, since noon.
Yeah. No, but this is horrible. It's horrible. Who do you even call? Do you call the rental car company? That's my first guess.
It was like, yeah, so they're going to tow you to the nearby town. You'll have to find a place to stay. And it's like, this isn't going to work. And luckily we found a nice, the guy who came out's like, oh, well, I know a guy and
shut up.
You know, it was one of those things. If we want to pay out of pocket just to keep going, the guy would replace our tire on the way. And it's like, at that point, you're going to find like some local bed and breakfast somewhere. Who knows? But we paid for the tires so we can keep going to where we originally paid to stay. So then we went out and it's, you know, it's beautiful, but it's remote. And then it's time to, we flew from a town in Scotland down to London. So on the way to the airport, hit another pothole.
Shut the fuck up.
Different flat. Oh, by the way, I know how to change a tire. There were no spare tires in this BMW. So
what the fuck? They're supposed to give you one of those.
So
the vehicle's supposed to be equipped.
I had built in time for us to make the flight, but
you're starting to stress.
But now we're running late. Yeah. And so I take, so immediately I knew what to do. Instead of dealing with the rental company, I just Googled local tire repair companies and immediately got somebody. But it's still, the whole process takes like an hour and a half by the time like the guy comes and surveys, and then they have to call in all this bullshit.
Also, those guys barely speak English. Very difficult to understand.
My God, I posted on Instagram. There was like a road sign during one of our flat tires, and I couldn't even describe. They're like, "Well, where are you located?" And I'm like, like it's like I don't know what it is.
Can I drop a pin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's getting really tight, and now there's still potholes everywhere. And I was like, "All right, I got to cruise for us to make this flight."
Yeah.
And we get to the airport, but like, I'm not going to make it. And so I send Michelle and the boys off with our luggage.
Shut up.
And I said,
because you got to return the car.
I got to return the car. Yeah. I can't just like leave it at the airport.
Yeah.
So I was like, get on that flight.
Yeah.
I'll meet you guys in London. Yeah. And then I just see that. So then there's a hotel by this airport, and they're like, no, we're fully booked. And I'm thinking like, well, what the fuck am I going to do now?
You could get on a train.
So I like Googled, and there's like, let's say this is 4 PM.
Yep.
And I look at the train times, and they're like, there's a 12.5-hour train.
Fuck it.
That leaves at 9:00. And I was like, okay.
Kind of nice.
I went to the pub next to the train station, and I just got ossified. Yeah. I was out before the train left the station, and I woke up at like 6 AM and had a few hours to go.
But wow.
Two flat tires.
What an adventure.
Yeah. But it was great. It was great. And London's always good. And it was a good time.
Turns out, and this is something I've just learned this week.
What?
Scotland.
Yeah.
Not an island. It's attached to England.
Yeah, it's just north. It's like Canada. Like it's like just it's England's hat. It's England's hat.
Yeah. It's right up there at the
top.
You
know what? The UK stands for the United Kingdoms
right.
of Scotland and England.
Right. But also Wales, right?
Yeah, well, yeah that
and
I mean,
Northern Ireland.
Speaking of Farrell.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Wales.
You know who was Welsh?
Tom Jones.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Also similar along those lines, not much different. Lemmy.
Oh.
Lemmy was a Welshman. R.I.P. Man,
but doesn't Lemmy make way more sense than Tom Jones? Like, yes. You wouldn't expect a Vegas nightclub style guy to be of the Farrell folk. Lemmy, he was like an extension of, of Scots.
Right.
I mean, of Welsh. Welsh. Yes. Like, you that makes a lot of sense.
Are you familiar with the writer John Ronson?
No.
Oh, I believe he's also Welsh. But it's, Welsh is like the Kentucky of England.
Yeah.
It's like
be real careful where you go there.
Yeah, except it's not going to rise again.
Like
our south.
But Kentucky seems primed to rise again any moment now.
Right. Yeah. No, they're fine. Alabama, the rest.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Yeah. It's to bring it back to real sports. I believe Scotland, although this might be Irish, and look, they're hard to tell the difference. The roads are shitty because that's where they play that game where they bowl the ball bearing down the road.
Yeah,
was that Ireland?
You're right. I think it's Ireland, but like, yeah, it's all similar. The only time I've explored Scotland though, Ireland, I was in a bus, so it wasn't my problem, and it was proper wheels. Like I was in like a pretty sweet. I've never driven a BMW before in my life.
They're nice.
It was pretty nice, but like these are tiny tires that really had no business being out in the Isle of Skye.
Yeah, they should have. This is like when you go to Maui and you rent a car, and Maui in the car.
They ask you if you're doing the road to Hana.
Yeah, they're like, here's the roads, and they make a big line. They go, don't go past here. Also, don't go past here, or you owe us money. Not allowed to drive on that. So, yeah, they should tell you that.
So, it's good to be back. And those were some good shows. I liked how you went right into the Friday facts with Travis.
Did you? I feel like that kind of confused people, but that was my muse. I was like, hey, how about we just fucking go cold with the facts?
So before we ever did this podcast, we would chat on Twitter.
Yep.
And I remembered helping you when Conrad Bain died with the Friday Facts. I dropped some Different Strokes knowledge, and that got worked into the facts.
Yeah, because I reach out to experts, and you're an expert on shit like that. Like any kind of 80s TV show, I reach out.
A shocker that Willis was the survivor who inherited all of Mr. D's money.
That's crazy.
Like, he was the one who was going to die first.
Yeah, he was the drugged out one. What's the little Arnold?
Arnold
Gary
and
Coleman.
Yeah. I mean, we know Sam was not getting left money. Yeah.
He's around. I think he lives
near you. Doesn't he live near you? Last time I saw him was in T2. He was using the Commodore 64 to bilk the ATM machine.
Yeah, that was it for him. Okay, well, good to have you back, buddy. Let's bang it out. Let's talk a little. I don't even know what button. Here we go. Let's talk some sports.
My name is Brian. They call me the other guy. I host a podcast show. I'll give Hetero Life a try. If you see something on my hand that makes you think I'm not a man, it's just my cool rings, you see. They're as sparkly as can be. I'm my own Troy on DVD.
Not sure if you had a chance to listen last week, Ed, but a big moment for the show as German director
Wolfgang
Petersen of Das Boot fame,
which is a good movie, but he had a good run, I think,
doing Hollywood movies.
Das Boot is quality, but he also did like some straight up popcorn movies, and I found them fun. Like, wasn't he in The Line of Fire and stuff like that?
He was fun, and he also, for the purposes of this show, he directed Troy.
That's right.
He directed Troy.
That's right. I heard you explain the origin story of Troy on DVD.
Yes. Yeah.
It is a great one. Great reference.
It's fantastic. And apparently, I've never seen Troy, obviously. I don't know. I've never seen Troy, which he directed, but apparently it's a huge piece of shit. And because
it's bad. I saw it in the theaters.
Because much like Jason Stewart, Caleb at Bird Respector on Twitter had a real problem with the writers of Game of Thrones. And the one of the writers of Game of Thrones wrote Troy.
Yeah. What's her name's husband?
David Benioff. Is he the one that gets it on with? I'm an Amanda Peet fan.
I am an Amanda Peet fan, but I am decidedly not an Amanda Peet fan on talk shows because she just like says nonsense and laughs at her own jokes. She's really bad.
Is she?
She's one of the worst talk show guests.
She'll get him out though. Like it's a whole nine yards.
Yeah. Hold 9 yards, yeah. Definitely.
He is married to this guy. Is married to Amanda Peet, who I believe went to Brown. So that's that's in the Ivy League.
That's a big time school.
Yeah. So they're pretty proud of themselves. If you attend the Ivy League, this guy is Dartmouth in the Ivy League? No, Trinity League. Oh, it is in the Ivy League. Yeah.
Sure.
So Benioff's also an Ivy Leaguer. Enough with the Ivy Leaguers.
Yeah.
It's enough. It's enough already.
Say enough already unless one of my kids goes there and gets rich.
That's true.
And
of course.
Hooks me up. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's, you're guaranteed. You're set.
Right. Like you don't have that feeling like other graduates where it's like, oh no, am I going to get hired? Like, yes, you are.
Yeah. Cause you know what? That's where I went to Long Beach State. I was technically an adult reentry student because I didn't graduate till I was 29. So, I didn't have many options, but somebody with options, I would say go to a school with a great network. That's all that matters is that you come out of school and there's other people that went to your school that will give you privileges based on the fact that you guys attended the same college.
Yeah. So going to Maryland.
Yeah. You guys have that?
Yeah, I would think. I'm sure it exists, but I upon graduation, wanted to go back to New York.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of connections in DC, like a lot of government, a lot of stuff down there. And yeah, I mean, I guess people who work the system better than me, I'm not really good at that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But like, if you go to a Midwestern school, you're probably going to get plugged in more to Chicago. So Maryland, I'm sure, yeah, there's certainly plenty of Northeast people there, but I felt like my friends that worked alumni networks worked in DC after DC. Graduation.
Yeah, that makes sense. Apparently we lost a few people this
week. We lost a few.
Rest in peace. Rest in peace. The ballers hope you rest in peace.
Very sad.
You won't laugh no more.
Nope.
You won't smile no more.
Kind of the same thing.
Right.
You won't laugh no more.
Also, that is the same thing.
And you won't fuck no more.
Also, that is not
that's
the
why
same
you say
thing.
It was your last, yeah.
It can lead to the other stuff.
That's true.
But it's not the same thing.
Holds the note. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Ed, who'd we lose this week?
I mean, this is terrible. Dolphins executive, Jason Jenkins, 47 years old. I don't see a cause of death, but geez, that's terrible.
Ed, I'm 47.
Yeah, I know.
It's impossible to die when you're 47.
I'm 46 and change. Like, I don't want to hear that. And if I do hear that, I want to hear cause of death.
Yeah.
So I can think, well, at least I know that's not going to happen. Like, if somebody dies at 47 doing hot air ballooning,
yes,
I'd be like, whoa, well, at least I know I'm never going to die of that cause.
Look, I don't want to be the one to say it. Also, I totally agree with you. Like, when somebody posts an RIP to somebody on Instagram, I'm immediately scrolling the comments for somebody to say how the person died. It should be
always
a rule.
If it's 85 and above, fine. It was their time.
It's
nobody's time at 47.
The Palm Beach Post reported Jenkins died after a medical emergency. I'll tell you right now, this feels like suicide. Like, remember that guy, the whitest kids you know?
Yeah.
Died. Oh, same kind of thing.
Fell off a railing in his
house. Likely jumped.
Right.
You know, landed in the backyard. But again, there was like an ambulance was called. Terrible. Very sad. Okay.
Lost it. Len Dawson, Chiefs quarterback, Super Bowl winning quarterback, 87 years old. I saw the hospice care notice a couple weeks ago. So it was just a matter of him crossing the goal line.
Yeah, that's heavy. I'll be honest. I get Len Dawson and Ken Stabler confused.
You know, I think the lifestyle of quarterbacks of that era are such that if you're 87 that's and you played good quarterback in that era, that is like the normal person 130.
Totally. They were smashing
like
in the head.
Kenny the Snake looked like he was 800 years old and he was like playing. 52, 53. He died many years ago and they were contemporaries.
Yeah, and he died young-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, somebody who died, he was 92. Yeah. Legendary Princeton backdoor cutting coach, boring. Pete Carril. Yeah.
Let's keep the game around 40 points.
Princeton hoops coach. I remember his big almost win was losing by one to Georgetown when he was a 16 seed.
Yep.
And that was like 1989. So when we saw this guy in like the Tyus Edney, in that era, that was a full 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow. You mean to tell me that dude was in his early 60s?
Oh, I thought he was like,
he looked like Yoda without the pointy ears.
Yes.
He was in his early 60s.
Also, didn't dipshit Rex Chapman, who got a job somehow on TV because he has a lot of Twitter followers, by reposting, stealing other people's content and having blue glasses. I believe during the tournament this year, he classified, or when they were discussing when discussing Pete Carril, he spoke about him as though he had passed and he had to be educated that he actually was still alive.
kind of like with Jeff Perlman, where you declared, what's his name, dead.
Kevin.
Kevin, the guy who went to the Giants and caught the barehanded ball.
Yeah, he caught the barehanded ball. He had that yellow tooth.
I keep wanting to say Kevin McReynolds, but it's not Kevin him. Mitchell. He was traded for McReynolds, yes. who was a real bum.
Kevin Mitchell. Well, look, the way Kevin Mitchell lived his life, you could expect that he'd be dead.
Yes.
I just saw one more before we started the show.
Okay.
Famed Dallas Cowboys offensive coordinator Ernie Zampezi.
Yes.
86 years old. Wasn't there like everyone was trying to copy the Zampezi offense or something? Like he was a big
I think
deal.
He was like it was Coryell and then Zampezi was Later the Coryell. Next.
Yep.
Coryell was doing what everyone does now.
Yep.
In the 70s.
Yep.
And then like I think the guys who branched off from him were like Joe Gibbs and Zampezi.
Yep.
But like, everyone talks about Bill Walsh, but Coryell is the most influential football NFL coach.
True. Now they throw it on every down.
Yeah, that was Coryell.
Yep. Absolutely.
He was Dan Fouts. Like when we were kids, there would be games where quarterbacks threw 11 times. Like Dan Fouts would throw in 40 times.
That's why you can't compare numbers because like Troy Aikman's a Hall of Famer. He won 3 Super Bowls, but his numbers didn't throw that much. He had Emmitt Smith in the backfield and that big offensive line and they just run it down your throat and then have cocaine
at the White House.
Right, right. Who's the other? Alvin Harper. Throw it to those two guys.
Yeah, so right after the Super Bowl run, North Turner got hired by the Redskins.
That's right.
And they signed Alvin Harper as a free agent. I was like, man, this guy was awesome. Yeah. He had like 5 catches on the year.
Yeah,
he was awesome for a reason.
It was the same as they would always like John Taylor, whoever was on the other side of Jerry Rice would always have big numbers. And then when they were a free agent, they'd go to another team and do nothing because they didn't have Jerry Rice on the other side of the field.
Yeah. And there's one guy that somehow escaped the criticism. A little guy by the name of Scottie Pippen, who people love talking about how great he was. And it's like, I kind of remember him without Michael Jordan. Yeah. Kind of different.
I love it when you bash the Bulls. What else happened in the world of sports?
Well, speaking of unfortunate former athletes that are still alive, Curt Schilling.
Yeah.
He bashed the student debt relief that just happened.
Yeah.
But he neglected to talk about when 38 Studios defrauded, I believe it was the state of Rhode Island. For $75 million on a government loan.
They invested in his video. They invested in Curt Schilling's video game company.
And the only thing that had been established was Curt Schilling had an idea for a video game.
Yeah.
It wasn't even like, hey, you know, I've secured the rights for this. It was no. I love video games. I think I'm going to do something really good.
So Curt Schilling is a big World War II head. He's obsessed with World War II.
So he came up with like a janky Call of Duty type thing.
Call of Duty already existed. And it was better. Like his idea wasn't even as good as Call of Duty. He wanted to do like a poser Call of Duty.
He is the worst.
Yeah. But he'll take the money from the state. He doesn't like.
Yeah. There's a weird thing. Yeah. Like how the people are all up in arms about the student debt. Relief. Don't have a problem with like the bank bailouts and like other things. It's weird how that works. The
$800 billion dollars every year for this.
The tax military. Cuts, military spend.
Yeah.
It's just, they just have a problem with student debt relief.
Yeah, it's nothing. Like, it's a drop in the bucket. This is like when Jay Stu was mad at NASA.
You know, McSweeney's, the comedy site.
Yes. I
saw a good one where they're like, it was an essay about like, I don't think there should be guardrails on the tiger pit at the zoo because I had to suffer. From a tiger attack.
Yeah. Don't help anybody because nobody helped me.
Yeah.
That's a whole boomer thing. That's when houses were $30,000.
Right.
You get a job at GM and you work there for your whole life. Like, it's a different world.
Right. And you had, and also like, you know, people who fought in World War II had like my grandfather had the GI Bill. Yeah. Everything was paid for. He fought in World War II, but then he got free college education. They don't that anymore.
No.
BYU fans you're a fan, but yelled a whole bunch of racial slurs at a Duke volleyball player, and it just continued, and nobody said anything until there were complaints like way after the fact. And now they've banned the fan This is a fan showing up at a women's volleyball, college volleyball event.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. First of all, first point I need to make, I need to be certain. Ed, you're saying this happened in Utah?
That's not the Utah I know.
No, that's not the Utah I know. Secondly, that's what I was thinking also. Shouldn't this guy be suffering more punishment for attending volleyball?
Now,
that's a watch list situation, right? You come
probably
in, they put your name, they write your name down, and then they keep an eye on you because you went to volleyball.
But let's assume, just by the way it was described, let's assume there were more people in the crowd than him.
Right. It's easy to hear people.
If you're sitting in a crowd and somebody's just dropping N-bombs and like, you go tell somebody, right? They just sat there. So like, they should all be banned. Anyone who just sat there and did nothing about it.
Totally. There was a high school game where one of the fans was speaking racial epithets about one of the players. I think he was kind of yelling it, but it wasn't loud enough that people knew, except that somebody was for the team that had the player that he was calling the racial slur, they were recording the game right next to the guy. So they caught him on tape, and it was a huge local scandal here. I don't understand where is it that it's okay to publicly use that kind of language? I who would say that out loud, much less yell it? I mean, I guess the answer is Utah.
Yeah, Utah, it's not a good look for Utah. No. And the Duke volleyball player said like, oh, well, the BYU player is treating me with respect. But like, how is just everyone in general, who allows that to go on? Like, you don't, somebody says that next to me. Like, I am not a tough guy that I'm going to just start throwing fists.
For sure.
But I'm going to like tell security, hey, and be like, fuck, this person needs to go. Like, this is not okay. Like,
was it the one? Hard R.
I keep hearing repeated racial slurs. I mean,
gotta be the hard R, right?
That's the hard R.
Yeah,
R repeatedly.
Yeah, it's got to be. That's crazy.
Getting that fired up over a women's volleyball match.
I know. I can't. I imagine BYU is pretty good at women's
volleyball. I disagree. When I think of volleyball, I'm thinking the California schools. Do you think Utah is going to be like really good in that kind of sport?
Point. That's a good point. We all know that multiple gold medalist Misty May attended the Harvard of the West, Long Beach State University, and despite being
but her partner seems a little bit of a, I can't say for sure, but she gives us some hard R vibes.
No, what's her name? Misty May.
She's a little MAGA.
She went to Stanford.
Carrie Walsh?
Yeah.
I wasn't she MAGA?
I don't know. She couldn't have been.
I heard maybe some stories of like, you know, when she like Misty May retired and then she had to find a new partner. Right. And then there was like some I thought maybe she might have gone MAGA.
Gonna happen.
Well, somebody from the California University circuit, San Diego State. Yep. Now, you knew something was wrong because the Bills rookie punter was getting a lot of buzz in preseason for these like 75, 80 yard punts.
Yeah. Yeah.
People were talking about a punter in preseason.
I believe he was drafted, which is crazy. Why would you ever draft a punter? You just get some guys from the fucking rugby team or the soccer team to come over and, you know, see how good they are. Right. To be a drafted punter, you got to be a good ass punter.
It is crazy how many Australian, like how many rugby or Australian rules football guys now are just dominating the punting game.
Yeah, they can boot it.
So anyway, the rookie Bills punter, and I didn't even clip the story. I don't even know this guy's name, but anyway, he was the he was accused of gang rape during his junior season at San Diego State.
Yes,
and in the suit, he apparently told the woman she should probably get tested.
But he's being charged with a crime, right?
I think it's a civil, and then they're still talking about it, but. I have it. First of all, not good.
No.
And they cut the other punter, and they were apprised of the situation like over a month ago.
Yeah,
and
they're punterless.
And then they're like, you know, when there's backlash, then people are like, all right, I guess we're going to have to cut him. But my theory on what went down, and it's not a good look, and I will never understand group sex. Like it's just I don't know. Ooh, this guy was having, so the gang rape, from what I understand, it was an inebriated 17-year-old who was like a senior in high school.
Underage, yeah.
Now I've known high school girls that like hooked up with college guys like when I was in high school. So I can see the scenarios where that happened. I have a feeling when he told her she should probably get tested, that's what put this whole thing in motion.
I mean, I don't know. You know, she says she was assaulted. It's always crazy to me when guys want to do a sexual assault, they can find other guys that want to do it with them.
Yeah.
You know, how is somebody not like, hey,
guys,
leave her alone.
This is a bad look.
Yeah. It's a bad deal. He's fucked. You know, I have no sympathy.
Zero sympathy.
Yeah.
He can go. He can just hope he gets the what was that guy's name? Brock Turner.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Stanford guy. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He's just got to hope he's got one of those judges.
Yeah.
Hey, we don't want to ruin the young man's life.
Yeah, totally. Fuck him.
Fuck him. South Carolina Gamecock mascot is getting a new nickname. And the mascot formerly known as Sir Big Spur will now be known by whatever the results of a vote, and there's a Bodie McBoatface situation going on because the overwhelming leader at the time is Cock Commander.
So I'm of two minds here. Because, like, well, of course, on the one hand, Cock Commander is amazing. It's a fantastic nickname, and I would root for that 10 times out of 10.
Yes.
And remember Ole Miss, they had to get rid of Colonel Reb.
Right. And
right. Like Colonel Reb existed in like the 2010s. Like that's kind of weird.
And remember when there was like the protest in South Carolina to remove the Confederate flag from the statehouse building? That was like 6 years ago.
Yeah, that's crazy. So I'm anti Colonel Reb, but then they had the chance to make Admiral Akbar their mascot. And they punted, and now it's like the Bears or something. It's stupid.
Right. It's pretty lame.
So I need to know, has Sir Big Spur been unfairly canceled? Because Long Beach State's iconic prospector Pete was labeled as a symbol of oppression, and now we're like the Sharks or something. Like it's
so clearly cockfighting is not a good thing.
Sure. But who thinks of cockfighting when they see a real rooster?
But I'm saying, I think that could be the only reason why they're.
Come on.
But why? What's wrong with Sir Big Spur? That doesn't sound like it's anything.
No, it's insane. Is it in the story? Let's look in the story here. I'm gonna look.
Sir Big Spur sounds fine.
No, it's great. George Washington University, like they were called the Colonials, and now they've changed their name, or they're going to change their name. I get that, you know, there's these names, you could associate these things, but nobody does.
By the way, my sister went to South Carolina for a year,
She hooked up with who's that guy with the mullet? Steve
Tannehill.
Yeah.
It was during that time, yeah. But I sadly don't think she ever got together with him. Yeah. But I was like a sophomore in high school when this happened.
Yeah.
And I was like, you need to bring me all the gear possible. So I had like, I had like seven different cock related t-shirts, like the South Carolina scuba team, wet cocks go deeper. Like I had all these, like, I got it a couple years older. And I was like, what am I going to do with all this shit? It was like just vulgar t-shirts.
It's great. No, I love it. You just got to hold on to that. It's probably worth money, you know, like.
Yeah, I know it would be, but I was like heading off to college and I was like, I can't bring all this cock shit with me.
No, me and my buddy Spence went to a flea market and sold all his like Slayer and Iron Maiden shirts back in the day. Cause he's like, I'm never going to wear these again. Now they're worth like $300.
Yeah.
Like this old metal shirts.
My son would pay top dollar. I mean, that's all.
Your son's a guitar player.
And he loves metal. All he cares about too.
Love it.
And he'd be like, that. Hey, did you know that Dave Mustaine, and they'll just give me these facts. I'm like, I can't keep track of all this.
Dave Mustaine was kicked out of Metallica. He wrote most of that first album with them.
Right.
Them all.
Yeah. I mean,
home on a bus.
I still appreciate all that stuff, but it's like amazing how, you know, stuff I was into 30 years ago, I'm back. I'm back. I mean, I'm in it now.
Metal's not that back. I mean, I'm stoked for your kid that he's into that. This is... The Cox thing is such bullshit. The reason for this name change stems from an argument between the former and current owners of the Live mascot. The naming rights agreement with the original owners has expired, forcing the school to look elsewhere for a new name. You know what this is, Ed?
Why can't you just name it? Like, it's not like the person with the name Steve says nobody else is allowed to be named Steve. You could just be like, yeah, guess what? We've got a new mascot with the same name.
Right. Or you just spell it different. But so these people own the name. This is like, remember that asshole that was the Minnesota Vikings?
Oh, yeah. Ragnar?
Ragnar. He like hit him up. He's like, look, you're going to have to, you know, I want $150,000 for coming to 8 games. And they're like, hey, Ragnar, fuck off. And now where's he? Look, you're only worth as much as the guy across the street is willing to pay you. There is no across the street from being Ragnar. There's only one fucking Minnesota Vikings. There's only one Fireman Joe. Is that his name?
Oh, my God. Fireman Ed. I had to sit next to this fucking bozo. Or not next to, but like.
Both called Ed.
I was sitting in a section very close to where he would come down and do the JETS thing.
Yeah.
And he definitely thought he was the reason why people were there.
Oh, yeah.
He like really was soaking it up. He's like, oh, here I go. Here I go. And it's like, nobody gives a fuck about you, buddy.
Yeah. So I got a buddy that's a Raider fan, and he would go to he'd fly Southwest up to Oakland every weekend that they were home. He had season tickets, and he knew like all the, what do they call that?
The Spike guys, guy Spike. Wearing.
So he knew Spike, and he'd be like, he knew, he's like, hey, what's up, Greg? And Spike would be like, hey, man, it's Spike. And he'd be like, okay, whatever, Greg. And he'd just keep calling him by his regular name and get real pissed off because he wanted to be Spike.
Black
hole. That's it.
Lame. Super
Raiders
lame.
Love the black hole.
Here's something super lame. David Beckham says his wife, Victoria, has eaten grilled fish and steamed vegetables every day since he has known her.
It's weird when people are just into like one kind of food.
But isn't that one of the great joys?
Yeah, different tastes.
I
mean,
today I had a pretty boring menu because, you know, I'm trying to save up for when I get a cheeseburger or something.
You've been eating haggis for a month.
But I mean, just to eat the same thing, that means she's just like food is fuel only.
Yeah.
Like she's
that's weird.
She's
some people just aren't into food.
There's no way she's like super excited to eat fish and steamed vegetables every day. Like you can't be. Every day? He's been with her for like a quarter century.
Yeah. Also, like maybe like grill those vegetables. Like
Yeah, steaming them constantly.
I'll make salmon and I'll cut up a bunch of heads of broccoli and I'll just throw them on the grill. Put a little avocado oil, salt and pepper, throw them on the grill. They're nice. They're like charred on the outside.
I'm not saying a grilled fish and vegetables wouldn't be okay.
But every day. So, I mean, here's a bigger question, Ed. That's got to seep. So my girlfriend, Cheyenne, she does hair, right? And she's from Cincinnati. She was telling me that when she was cutting hair in Cincinnati, she got hooked on to, there was a pro wrestling school. Yes.
What do you mean?
You have to go to school to learn how to wrestle, like to do suplexes and stuff. And she said the guys from the pro wrestling school would come in and she'd cut their hair. And she's like, but they all reeked like fish because they were trying to put on mass. So they were eating so much tuna that it was seeping out the pores.
That's gross.
Similarly, I have my own story. If you're the aforementioned Cheyenne, you're in a relationship with me, go ahead and like hit the 30 seconds ahead button twice right now. I'll give you a second. I'll give you a hit the button. Good. I used to date this girl who ate a lot of onions, Ed.
Oh. I mean, I love onions, but
yeah.
What?
Her pussy kind of smelled like onions. Did. It wasn't a bad smell. It wasn't an unhealthy smell.
Just.
But it's just like.
But I mean, I eat a fair amount of onions. Like, I'll put it in eggs and stuff. But to smell like that, it's a lot of onions.
It's a lot. I know. I didn't realize. Wow. But I'm like, what is that? And then I was like, and then she'd be like, oh, give me the burger with like raw onions. I'm like, oh, fuck. Right. That's what that is.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
A rugby player has been suspended 8 games for sticking his hand, quote, between the buttocks of an opposing player.
That's weird because it's a brutal game. Like, you know, like
this I am assuming it's in the pileup. He goosed somebody,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's checked his oil.
Yeah.
Look, it's a good thing there's no referee. They need a referee with scuba gear or snuba to be under the water at those water polo matches.
Oh, yeah. Anytime you see at the Olympics, you see the underwater cam and you're like, oh, this is not good.
No, they're grabbing each other's dicks. They're pushing each other underwater. It's, you know, it's a rough game. You don't want to know what goes on in the pilot. It's like sausage and laws. You don't want to see how it's made.
No, you don't.
But that reminds me of a story that people were sending me this week about Australian rules football, which is it's not really like rugby. It's you kick it through the thing every time.
Yeah. So I went. We were in Melbourne.
Yeah, you're a Magpies fan, Collingwood.
That's right.
Yeah.
But there was a guy like trying to explain the rules to me, and I sat there, and after like 6-7 minutes, like rugby, there are intricacies.
It's like Australian football.
Rules football is pretty quick. It's like you essentially want to punt a Hail Mary that will lead to a field goal.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Yeah.
That's it. Like there's not other things to it. That's kind of all it is. It's fun. It's fun to like go to a match.
Yeah. And if you kick it inside the outside posts, it's like 2 points or something. If you kick it inside the inside post, which is much more narrow, you get like 3 points.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it. And look, it's a small country. Also, the field is oval. Why? Why is the field an oval?
And it's massive because I remember there were seagulls just fully camped out at the other end.
Yeah. No, and until, yeah, it wasn't a problem.
Until someone would run over there, but like it could be 15 minutes before it would be touched.
Right. But these Aussie guys are, look, they're a different breed. They're from the bottom of the world, right? They're from a massive wild place that separated early from Pangaea. So it's got its own, they got ruse, you know, like why are there ruse? You know, there's more camels in Australia because they brought camels there for the mines or whatever. There's more camels in Australia than there is in the Middle East.
What?
Yeah. Just living in the middle. So it's a wild place with full of wild people. But this happened this week. Two professional, air quotes, professional Australian rules football players have landed themselves in hot water after having sex at a local pub. As reported by TMZ, the teammates who play for Glen Waverley Football Club in Melbourne.
Well, it's not Collingwood in Melbourne, so
no, this must be like the Triple A's.
Yeah.
Were captured on video earlier this month engaging in oral sex at a public bar. During a day of heavy drinking, the pair made a bet, with the loser having to perform oral sex on the winner in front of bar patrons. Look, I've welched on bets before, Ed. One time I was working with a guy and we're having, I regret this. I'll be honest. I regret this. We used to meet for coffee before work, talk about how the night was. I work nights, and he had like brought like some McDonald's or something. He was eating his food. We're having coffee and he goes, he's done. And he like packs up the whole bag of his shit, like packs it real tight because there's a trash can like 30 feet away. I regret this. This is a mistake. And he pulls it back like he's going to throw it and launch it and land it in the trash. And technically not a bet. So I'm not held to this.
He said, if I.
He didn't say shit. I go, I'll give you $5 if you make it. He was like Steph Curry. He just like was looking the other way and he just went, it was a far shot. It was unlikely that he was going to make it. He fucking sank that thing. I never gave him the $5. I'm embarrassed about that. Now,
I'll suck your dick.
Yes, exactly. I should have given him the $5. Had I said, hey, if you make the shot, I will suck your dick, I would not regret not paying the bet.
That's a welch that you're supposed to do.
Happy to welch on that. Look, if I tell you I'm going to suck your dick, I'm saying it as a joke. Understood.
There was a whole Seinfeld episode where the guy's like, if I'm wrong, I have to buy you dinner. And Jerry's like, he's just doing this so he can get dates with you.
Yeah, Kenny Banya. Oh, no. Kenny Banya is the one that Jerry owed a dinner and got soup.
Yeah. Soup's not a meal.
That's not a meal. This is the meal.
It's gold, Jerry. It's gold. No, but I can't remember who it was, but Jerry was like, this is just an excuse so he can take you out.
It's true.
These dudes.
Yeah. He wanted to suck his dick. Good point.
All right. Yes. Like that's all this is.
During a day, so with the loser having to perform all sex, the loser honored the bet. And here's the real problem. Doing the deed as his teammates cheered him on. According to rumors circulating online, the wife of the player who performed the sex act on his teammate has left him since the footage went viral.
Footage went viral.
Now, this is interesting because they're like in trouble with the league. But what if they're disguised and like to suck each other's dicks? Like, that's not.
This didn't happen on the pitch.
That's true. It happened in a bar.
I mean, you're allowed to have a life outside the sport.
It's, but they, you know, they don't. It's a macho society. Well, down there.
Somebody brought this up to me recently, but Crocodile Dundee was a movie as if you had dropped a chimpanzee off in New York City. Yeah. Like they, when we were kids, you watch that movie and you're like, oh my God, this Australian guy, how could he figure out, like, they speak the same language. Like they're just treated like chimps. Right.
Well, but then you say that and I agree with you. Cause look, he was a guy that just wore a vest with no shirt. So that was, you know, that's like, whoa, you're not from around here. But then,
big fan of Kozlowski and that scene where she gets eaten by the,
you know, they were married in real life. Paul Hogan and her.
And then didn't he commit some tax crimes?
You know, that's everybody down there, because what happens is they go back and look and they go, the tax laws change and they go, hey, you owe me for 1987. And you're like, that wasn't the laws then. And they're like, too bad. Just give us your passports. Look, I know people that this has happened to. The club is taking immediate action to address the serious breach of our culture. See?
They don't want
to be associated with gay
That's homophobia. What against our culture?
Yeah, culture. That's code.
My only problem is the like, oh, it's a bet. Like, there's no bet, that I'm sucking a dick.
Look, I owe Robert Lee, I owe you $5. If you're within the sound of my voice, I feel bad about that. I'll Venmo you. I should have paid you and I didn't. I didn't think you'd make the shot. And also, I was pretty poor back then, but still, I could have given you $5. Similarly, if I had offered to suck your dick, I would not be offering to recompense right now and suck your dick right now, because I'm not doing that. You know, that was a joke. Obvious joke.
A Utah girl beat another girl in a race, and the angry Utah parents demanded to know the gender of the girl who beat their daughter, because
is this a Caster Semenya situation? Like,
I think they wanted that to be the case, when it was really just a girl who is more athletic than the daughter. But
right, it's, you know, you can usually tell. And it's like, especially in Utah, you know, there's, they all live in the same ward and they tithe to the same church and stuff. You would know if somebody switched genders, you know, but like
the fact that, yeah, the fact that they like even,
yeah,
entertain the thoughts of these people. Yeah. The school went back to kindergarten and she had always been female. Like, they actually,
yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. Like, they should just be like, shut the fuck up.
Guess what? We don't care about you, and your daughter can be banned from our sports if you're going
to. What was the sport? And again, Utah, you know, I've been to Utah many times, and I don't know what it is. There is a darkness there. You know, you just get that feeling when you go to a place and you're just like, there's a pallor. Is that the word? Pallor.
Yeah. That's one of those words I've only read. And I know what you're saying. Like, I know the word, but I'm not sure how to. I think pallor. I think
pallor.
It just says beat her in athletics. I assume that's track and field,
right?
Situation.
400 meters, or the high jump, the Fosbury flop.
I love a good 400 hurdles.
Oh yeah,
I ran that in high school poorly.
Yeah.
But that was my race and track.
I believe
the football coach said you either have to lift weights every day in the spring or do another sport. And I wasn't good enough at baseball to get any playing time, so I did track. I did the 400 hurdles.
I believe that's what our dear friend Lolo Jones. She was a 400 meter or 200. And
much like Lolo Jones, I was a virgin for most of high school.
But it's stressful watching the hurdles, because they eventually somebody crashes into one of those hurdles.
I mean, one of the great early YouTube videos was the creep song while the girls kept falling on the hurdles.
Yeah, they ran into like every hurdle,
everyone in the race. It was the world's worst hurdle race.
Amazing. I love that shit. Okay, let's catch up on some voicemails.
He's so easy to hate. Your time he likes to waste. His calls are far from great. His calls are far from great. He's such a stupid fuck. He seems down on his luck. His voicemails really suck. His voicemails really suck. No one's enjoying him. He's so annoying. Plus, so fucking boring and worthless. But he's got nothing else to do. And he's even worse than Ish. His faults are useless. Shit. He's fat and got big tits. He's Manuel in Gardenia.
So somebody messaged me this week and they're like, your voicemail's not working. As I discussed earlier, and I see, and now I go to the voicemail and it looks like we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 voicemails this week.
It's working.
No, but it's only one. It's the same guy. It's the same guy that couldn't get through. The first four times.
Are we going to hear the same message?
No, because there are one's 4 seconds, one's 8 seconds, one's 3 seconds.
I assume it's
seconds.
Not Manuel.
No, it's not.
It's so seven, you seven, you revealed eight? On the last show, the one before,
yeah,
that he works the night shift, even though we're a podcast.
Yeah, no, well, which, that's what he told Travis. He's not.
But which confirms, yeah, it confirms that he never listens to our show.
We can listen anytime.
I mean, that's the thing with podcasts.
It's
like,
a beautiful podcast. Yeah.
You know how when I was in London, like, it still worked just in a different time than I usually would download it in the morning.
No, it's great. I have certain podcasts I listen to when I'm driving, and I have certain podcasts I listen to like when I'm on a hike. And it's I place those things in that place in my life. Because
I was listening to you and Travis.
Yeah.
In the morning, yeah, in London as I went for a run, but it was different than the morning in New Jersey.
Right.
But like, that's the thing. It still worked in a different morning.
No, it does feel kind of different. You're like, wait, why am I hearing this? This isn't like, I don't have the right surroundings for this content because I usually hear it in a certain place.
Yeah.
Kind of weird how we get like conditioned for certain things at a certain time. Okay. I'm assuming this is just one. This is the same guy. It's the same phone number, 720, which I've learned is the Denver area. Not Telly, because the guy who messaged me was not Telly. Let's see who it is. Or not. Hold on. Oh, here we go. Working the buttons and back.
Brain, Ted.
Brain, Ted.
So listening to the new episode with Caleb, which, hey, great show with him. He does a good job. My issue is the ball sucking going on of, oh, you guys are my favorite show.
We don't play Astro Angels.
You're the top listen podcast. And then Kennard comes up.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
And then some movie review, the Wolfgang movie, Outbreak.
Yeah.
Oh, I have to go back and listen to that one. Dude, do you listen to the fucking show or not?
Wow.
Come on.
So that's funny. I don't think he said we were the top show he listens to, but he is a listener for sure. And I was telling this to somebody else this week because Caleb was very familiar with Manuel. And I was talking to somebody else about the show. And they're like, oh, yeah, that Kennard thing. And I'm like, well, Kennard, you would have to listen to very specific shows.
Yeah.
Manuel's here every week.
I heard that. I mean, we, over the years, not that long ago, we started interacting more with Caleb.
Yeah.
I feel like it was like COVID, like probably like 2 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we were on his show maybe like 4 years ago. And then we were like, hey, he'd probably be a good guest. But, but that was probably like 3 years ago. So,
yeah. But like, I think
COVID time.
I get the feeling he listens to more now, but the Kennard, it was like a couple episodes that kind of were everything. And I was in full agreement. Like, I'm entertained by the discussion, but there are always holes in the story.
Sure. I was a bit of a rube. I wanted to believe. And I definitely believed after the first one.
I sort of believed the first one. I didn't at all believe this. The second one seemed odd, but I mean, I could believe that there was some sort of credit card fraud. Like that's not, I mean, who knows?
Yeah. I mean, that's,
but the kicker was last week or whatever, when it was like, hey, do you listen to this podcast like in a random city?
No one's
like,
ever had that conversation.
I've never talked to anybody about a podcast.
No one's ever had that conversation.
Maybe like Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
But like beyond that, I mean, it's like Howard Stern, Joe Rogan, like there's only a couple of things that people would know of.
Universally. I'll tell you what, you'll never be prepared for the time you're having a conversation with your son. And look, he's 17. He's old enough. He can say words. It's fine. We're talking about the entertainment we like. And he's like, Dad, do you ever listen to Cumtown?
What?
And I'm like, I've heard of that show. Like, I know it's New York comics. Like, I know that that exists. And I appreciate, it's probably funny because you're recommending it to me, but it's tough for me to hear you say that word.
That's a tough bridge to cross.
Dad, you ever listen to Calm Down? I haven't heard it, but I would. Okay, one email. First off, so glad to see that my dear friend Eddie Van Daly made it back to the great state of Jersey safe and sound. You were in our prayers. I'm just glad you greased the right customs agent and made it back with the package intact. That being said, need some advice from you upstanding gents. I have a friend that I will call Vegemite to keep his identity secret.
Vegemite.
Anyway, my friend has an unhealthy hatred for a well-regarded and well-known TV chef. This guy has done nothing but good and is a national treasure. Is Veggie just jealous of the chef's success and secretly wants to have a passionate lovemaking sesh with him? It's the only thing I can think of that makes sense. How should I help my friend Veggie overcome his issue? That's from our friend LSU Lala.
He just wants to bring joy to the world.
Yeah. He's a great guy. Our guy. He cooks for people. He wears cool shirts, flip-flops. He'll wear flip-flops in a fucking cold-ass place, too. It's like, dude.
make other types of shoes.
Yeah, I see the cargo shorts. I know that's your look. Maybe get a pair of jeans. Throw them on. You know, you're in Alaska. It's cold as fuck.
When he talks ill of our guy, I kind of feel like Chris Parnell in Anchorman.
Why would you say that about our city?
Yeah, it's true. Yes. It's like,
why?
It's hard to believe.
Why would you say that about Guy?
It's hard to believe that anybody wouldn't like Guy. I don't, LSU, I don't know this friend you speak of.
Vegemite.
Not a fan of Vegemite either. Never goes bad. It never goes bad.
Vegemite is disgusting.
Yeah. It's like yeast. It's like hydrolyzed. It's like not even food. It is just it's just preservatives.
It's like a gross paste to put on salty toast.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things that because it's put on every child's toast.
Yep.
That they're all nostalgic and you're like, or when you get them outside of their country and they're like, oh, I can go for Vegemite. And you're like, what?
No.
Disgusting.
No, it's weird. It's super weird. Okay. Let's talk some non-sports.
Well, it's time for non-sports. Non-sports segment. On the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Non-sports. 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 I'm talking about the segment now. Non-sports
segments. Let's pop it in the world of not. So it looks like a lot of people died this week.
Yeah, I'm going to go rapid fire, but first I got to start with the hammer.
Yeah.
The one that hurts the most. R.I.P. to Joe E. Tata.
Yeah.
85 years old.
Nat.
From Beverly Hills 90210, he ran the Peach Pit and then somehow got convinced to open a nightclub.
Peach Pit After Dark.
PPAD. Yep. Co-owned by different people at the time. Like Dylan had a role, Valor Malone, Noah, who was the Dylan replacement, who was just brooding but didn't have the charm of Luke Perry.
Yes, the gravitas.
But anyway. R.I.P. Joey Tata, who they paired him up. They gave him a storyline for a few episodes where he got married to this woman, Joni, and she had a kid.
Yeah.
And the actress was like in her mid-50s. Like, it didn't make sense. Like, Joni, I looked her up. She died like 17 or 19 years ago.
Yeah.
And... she had the kid in one episode and then you never saw her again. They pulled a Chuck Cunningham on her.
Joey Tada was 55 back then. Like, he's, that was 30 years ago, and he died at 85.
Right. It was just so weird. Like, I understand when a show's going on a long time, they have to come up with storylines. But there wasn't one viewer of that show that was like, you know, I'd like the fry cook to have a family situation.
Yeah, he didn't need more work.
Right. He was just like the wise sage for 4 minutes an episode.
He served pie to children. Teenagers. Teens. Hey, teens, come have some pie. Yeah. I'm Joey Tada. I'm Nat. It's
weird.
Over here at the Peach Pit. Yeah. R.I.P. Nat, though. Very sad.
I actually got an R.I.P. just right before the show.
Oh, I think it might
Sopranos.
Yes. Dr. Cusimano.
Dr. Cusimano. He's the guy who referred Tony to Dr. Melfi. He was the next door neighbor, or a neighbor. I don't know if it was next door neighbor.
It was next door.
Yeah, next door. He was the physician who was friends with Dr. Melfi.
Yeah. Also, IRL, Patty LuPone's brother.
She's like famous for yelling at people in the audience
all the time. She's a big Broadway star, but also, come on, Ed. She was the mom on Life Goes On.
Yeah, she was Corgi Thatcher's mom. Yeah,
that's right. All right.
And,
also,
and the original Evita, I believe.
Pancreatic cancer. That's the one you don't want.
That's the one that goes quick.
Yeah, because they can't find it till it's too late. That's what got that's our guy. That's what got our guy Patrick Swayze.
Awful.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Jerry Allison, the drummer and songwriter with Buddy Holly and the Crickets. He wrote Peggy Sue and That'll Be the Day, 82 years old.
Yep.
R.I.P. Virginia Patton, the last surviving adult from It's a Wonderful Life. She was 97. Good run. Mm-hmm. We might have to do that as our Christmas episode. It might be a good watch. But yeah, if we do that, you're going to find that she plays a role in revealing his brother to be a real piece of shit.
Oh, okay.
She was the brother's wife. R.I.P. Lamont Dozer, who was a Grammy winner, Motown legend. This dude's writing is amazing. He wrote Baby Love, Where Did I Love Go? You Can't Hurry Love, Reach Out, I'll Be There, How Sweet It Is to Be Loved by You, Sugar Pie Honey Bunch, You Keep Me Hanging On, and many more. 81 years old.
Did a couple Jewish guys put their names on the songs, though, and get all his royalties, or no?
You know what? I actually did, you know, when it was Elvis's birthday the other day, and there was a whole, I read this whole thing. Two Jewish guys wrote most of Elvis's stuff, and and the cultural appropriation police were like, he stole that from black people. And it was like, the Jewish guys wrote Hound Dog and some of these things. And yes, there were people there were artists that were ripped off by the studios, and nobody's arguing that. But Elvis didn't rip off the black people. He just took songs that were written by these Jewish guys and did his own version.
Elvis but never like, wrote a song, much like Britney Spears.
He didn't write a song, but like, studio executives were the problem, but like Elvis wasn't making a choice to rip off black people. He was just recording songs.
That was his culture. He was from Mississippi.
He was poor.
Went to black churches.
He was poor. Like, he was around black people because he was poor. That's why. In Mississippi and
Memphis. Tupelo, Miss. Yeah. Who else?
Different world actress Mary Alice, 85 years old.
No clue. She
was
had the gray hair.
Yeah, but
he's a professor.
Different world was pretty cool because Bill Cosby didn't like Lisa Bonet getting naked in Angel Heart.
Yeah,
because fired her. She was really a bad influence on everybody.
This, even though Bill Cosby. Different world was one of those shows that you never liked. Actively disliked, and yet you watched every episode.
I watched 65 of those episodes and never liked it.
It was just there.
Yep. Raymond Briggs, children's author, wrote The Snowman, 88 years old. R.I.P. David McCullough, famous famous biographer, 89 years old. He wrote, like, I think the John Adams book.
Ben Franklin?
Yeah, he wrote, like, all the, like, the famous old books.
These fucking books are, like, how do you research like that? You got to go. Like, remember when they tried to cancel Doris Kearns Goodwin because she was like, oh, she
plagiarized, like, one line of a Ben Franklin, like, thing.
There's so many thousands of texts that, like, these aren't new human beings. They've been written about before. And the only way to properly write about them is read everything that's already been written about them. It's like, I can't imagine the amount of work that goes into that.
McCullough read John Adams' letters to his wife. Yeah. I mean, that's got to be the worst thing in the world, reading all that shit.
I know. They talk so weird back then.
Very weird.
Also, Paul Giamatti played him in the TV movie that was pretty good, but his daughter had breast cancer and they took, like, cut off her boob, like, right on the show. I was like, I didn't need that. I didn't need
it. A tough watch, but also, I watched most of it.
Yeah, it was good. Also, what about his son, John Quincy? I believe his wife was Laura Linney in that.
Yes.
Meg Adams.
She was.
Abigail Adams. What about his son, John Quincy Adams, being the sixth president? That's kind of weird.
Yeah, and there was a shady. I mean, back then, like, the president was chosen in, like, the smoke-filled room. There was no election.
Nope.
And there was some shady things that everybody threw their weight at the 11th hour to get him in there. So they never liked him, but he was, like, a better statesman as an ex-president than he was a terrible president. I think all he did was play pool and swim naked in the Potomac.
But how about the guy that came number seven, though? Like, six.
Andrew Jackson.
Six is bad. Yeah, about seven.
Then Trail of Tears happened.
Yeah.
Somebody is hashtag back.
It's fucking back.
Johnny Depp was really excited to play the MTV Moon Man at the VMAs last night.
Wow. So they still do that? The VMAs?
Yes, they do.
There's not videos anymore, John. Like, also, like, the kids that supposedly are watching Machine Gun Kelly, they don't know who the fuck you are. You're in your late 50s. You're almost 60.
I believe I played a contemporary of Machine Gun Kelly in the movie Public Enemies. I was Derringer.
Oh, that's no, it's not. Oh, yeah, the real, yes, the real
the Machine 30s, Gun. The '30s, yes. Gangster.
Oh no, that looked horrible. That was horrible. That couldn't have been good.
Oh, it was a great movie. When I get into my roles, I need my motivation, and so. You know, I found plugs in my bed a couple of years ago.
That's true. That's
and
true.
I said,
Elon Musk.
What does this guy have? Is it space?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then I took the role of Moon Man, MTV Moon Man, because I'm going to space as well.
Did you drive Elon Musk's Tesla Roadster to space that he launched out there?
I procured my own vomit comet. I've been doing training. I've been working in zero gravity ever since the trial.
Interesting. How did you launch yourself into space? Did you use the cannon that you paid $3 million to shoot Hunter S. Thompson's ashes out of? Did you shoot yourself like a human cannonball from the circus? Is that how you trained?
Yes. I rewatched my old Hunter S. Thompson videos and felt inspired. And I dipped my floor mats in ether.
He liked that. Yeah, he put it up his nose. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I drove to the cannon and then shot myself into space. And here I am, Moon Man.
Now, who lit the cannon? Was it? I know you have issues with Richard Grieco. Did you invite Harry Aoki over to come, or was it
he hasn't been taking DeLuise. My calls. It's Peter DeLuise.
Peter DeLuise, he lit the thing. Oh, that's fantastic. Well, I'm glad you're back. I don't know if the kids knew that was on TV. But
yeah, I'm familiar with MTV, but I'm not familiar with any videos over the last 25 years or so.
You were in that great Tom Petty
video, RIP Tom Petty, into the great wide open. So what was your experience there?
The last video I remember watching was masturbating heavily to Wicked Games.
Oh, yeah. Helena Christiansen.
Yes.
Yeah, she, yes. No, that's a good video. What about the, what was the deal with that video? Remember Billy Idol?
Rock the Cradle of Love.
Rock the Cradle of Love. And now look, I was at the time a underage. I hadn't matured into a man yet. So when I was watching the Cradle of Love get rocked, I was like, oh yeah, I'm pretty into this chick. Like, but the whole video was about an adult being tempted by an underage girl that wanted to play a tape in his apartment. How did you feel about that?
It was a fun time to be alive because Aerosmith then copied it and had a bunch of those videos as well.
Their own daughter. Yes.
Involving their own daughter and yes. Alicia Silverstone.
Yes. Fantastic. Well, yeah. Haven't heard from her in a while. Maybe we'll later. Johnny Depp, ladies and gentlemen.
Adieu.
Thanks for joining us, Johnny Depp. Ed, are you back?
Yeah, I'm back. And it was weird. I saw some headlines. I honestly, and you know, the old joke about they don't play videos. I didn't think that actually existed.
Same. I thought they did. It's they do crazy. Like a movie thing. They do like a fake Oscars. I didn't realize they still did the VMAs.
Yeah, because I mean, I get that the channel has evolved, but like I didn't even know that they would spend studios or anyone would spend money on videos.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. No one plays live anymore. I can only imagine what the performances are like.
A Florida man was shot dead after climbing into a stranger's bed with a machete, whispering, "I love you." Now,
was Ed?
Klaus?
Before we pass judgment, do we know if he was standing his ground?
Oh, that's true. We should always pay attention to the stand your ground. I was thinking less Florida man and more climbing into a stranger's bed. I was looking to see if Klaus. The Florida man's name Klaus. Was Klaus.
Denmark. That happens a lot in Copenhagen.
Because I've woken up with a naked Danish man, but it seems that's not the guy.
You're not the first person I know that has a story like that. Here's a question. This is something that I thought of when I saw this. Like, how many machetes have you seen in your life?
So I've seen one.
Yeah, because you used to work, you used to do landscaping.
No. My grandfather that I talked about, the GI Bill guy, he kept his machete. He had, he was in Japan and they used machetes like clear in the Pacific. And he brought it home with him. Yeah. And so I would ask my grandfather, can I see the machete? Because like when you're a kid, you hear of machetes. But that was like a crazy one-off thing. Like in Florida, that's just something people have.
Yeah, like you remember.
They trade the carburetor for a machete.
Right, exactly. Jack T. Colton in Romancing the Stone, but he's hacking his way through the jungle looking for treasure. Like he's got a machete. Meanwhile, these guys in Florida, they got, here's the things they got. They got jet ski
parts.
Yep. They have exotic reptiles.
Bath salts.
Good call. Yes. Bath salts. And they have instruments. They have weapons of gnarly death. And they're just all at the same house. You know, they're like, I got an AK-47. I got a machete. You know,
do you think they spin a wheel like a
yeah. And I got Sea-Doo parts, and I got fucking Eagles CDs, and it's like this is and you know, it's a mobile home. Like I can move this house to the park down the street if I need to, no problem. This is every day in Florida.
I mean, it's enough Florida. Like you don't always have to be. Yeah. Peak Florida.
Yeah.
With every week.
Florida. Yeah.
You might want to usher the kids out of the room. Houston Hooters waitress caught dipping hot wings in her vagina. Wow.
So
now,
yeah. Well,
I was just thinking, like, I understand people doing spiteful, awful things.
Yeah.
But
this seems like a real punishment on the person committing the crime here.
Herself.
Because like this can't, I had wings yesterday.
They burn.
And it burned my fingers.
Yeah. Yep. It'll burn you. Burn you. Jeez. Everywhere. It'll burn you. So because I follow mugshotties on Instagram, which is, as you can picture, it's mugshots of attractive women. I learned that this story is not, in fact, true.
Oh,
she was arrested, but it was for like something regular, like domestic violence, or like she got a fight with somebody. She was not actually putting wings in her vagina, which is kind of a bummer. Like this, that could only improve the Hooters wings, right? Like,
yeah, they're not really made with care.
Also, there's still Hooters. Not where I live.
There is one. There's still one in Midtown Manhattan.
Really?
Like, but in the same. But in the same way that there's a Bubba Gump Shrimp Factory,
right?
Like,
for tourists,
there's this one area that nobody goes that would want to be there.
Right. Tourists go there,
right?
Because it's familiar to them. They're like, oh, we know Hooters,
right?
Let's go get some grouper sandwich.
So I do believe there's one not far from the Garden, but like it's its own thing. It's not something that anyone I know like just goes to Hooters in Midtown Manhattan.
There's one in the far outside parking lot of, I don't know if it's still there. I assume it is, on Ball Road in Anaheim, in the far outside parking lot of Anaheim Stadium, which is a place I suggest no one ever goes. It's a hellhole. But our friend of the show, John in Fullerton, who's has a period fetish, he likes to have sex with women during their menstrual cycle. He likes to brag about all the threesomes he's had. Rightly something to be proud of. He impregnated Mrs. John of Fullerton in the parking lot of that Hooters.
Wow.
One of his children was conceived in a Hooters parking lot. Hey, fam. There's still a lot more of this episode to hear, but it's only available to our bonus content subscribers. Click the link in the show notes or go to theballerlifestyle.com and subscribe so you never miss a minute of the show.
Brothers, reviewing some movies and shows and others. Top podcast, man. No one is above us. 5-star. Even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit's so hot. Man, you know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man. It really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is so flawless. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller.